Longtime fans of the show should be familiar with the lender formerly known as Sue Pullen, and I'm pleased to announce that she's back, fresh off a rebrand and ready to help as Sue Mackey. Sue is a certified mortgage advisor at Fairway Independent Mortgage, an equal housing lender who focuses on finding the right product for you and your needs. She has over 20 years of experience helping thousands of homeowners. Whether it's purchasing, refinancing, or even a reverse mortgage, Sue will help. Sue's licensed in 36 states now, so reach out and let Sue Mackey it happen for you. The best way to reach her is just give her a call at 520-977-7904 or in an email, spullen@fairwaymc.com. Fairway Independent Mortgage has an MLS number of 2289. Sue Mackey has an MLS number of 206048. That email again, spullen@fairwaymc.com. And that phone number is 520-977-7904. Shoot Sue an email and let her know she needs to update that address. Disclaimer time. This is where I tell everyone to lighten up. It's just a podcast. Trading is like that roller coaster at the amusement park. Thrilling, unpredictable, and potentially stomach churning. What works for one person might leave another clutching their hat in the wind. Our hosts and guests, they're awesome, knowledgeable, full of insights, but we're not financial advisors. So don't rush to make any investment decisions based solely on our banter. Always consult with a professional or do your own research. Plus, let's face it, we like to have fun, laugh, enjoy the trading ride together. It's all in the name of good podcasting fun. So remember, take it easy, don't bet the farm, and keep your seatbelts on at all times. Thank you for listening. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the China Shop, home of the Band of Traders. I'm your host, Kyle, and joining me today is Alpesh Parmar, author of Growing the Money Tree and host of Wealth Matters. If you want to check out his book or show, you should be able to find everything at wealthmatters.com. And that's WEALTHMATRS.com. Correct?
Yeah.
Okay, nailed it. We'll have all those links in the show notes so you can browse them at your convenience. And before we kick things off, just want to remind everyone, if you have suggestions, corrections, or questions for future guests, you can send it to us. Do that via email at bandoftraderspodcast@gmail.com, or you can join our free Discord server, or just shoot me a DM on Twitter, @financialinept1. All right, Alpesh, let's get into this. So first things first, I have two beefs that I have to square with you here. Number one, it's been a while since I've read a book. I used to be a real avid reader, and so I get a lot of people that come on that have books, and like, it's hard to commit to reading a book when you don't really know anything about the person. But I thought, oh, it's a children's book. I can do that. No problem. And then you send me the book, and it's 150 pages with worksheets. And like, this is not a kid's book. Or I just don't remember being 12. So it's very in-depth. I was very surprised to see how much stuff you actually covered on there. And now the second beef that I have is that I was led to believe that you were the author, but it turns out you have two co-authors that helped you out. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, can you tell me a little bit about them and how they helped contribute?
Yeah, sure. So actually, those two co-authors are like my left and right hand. They are shoulders. They are my life. My beautiful daughters.
How old are they?
They are now 11 and 14, but when we started with the book, it was during COVID shutdown. Mm. So they were 7 and 10. So the book was intended for them.
Right.
So yes, they are, they pretty much helped me put this book together by writing the book in their own words. So every time I tried to explain them, let's say, you know, about what is money, so that's where we started. And then stocks and real estate and, you know, cryptos and whatnot. So I'll explain them. And then I'd ask them to, you know, explain it back to me.
Yeah.
To see if they understood, right?
Because right.
A lot of time we think that we know everything. But I think the kids can tell us if they really, if we really know, right?
Because right,
if they understood, then we truly know. So they would write it down in their own words. And literally what we did was that they would put it on they'll take a pen and paper and write it down on in a book, not on a computer or anything. Mm-hmm. I said, you know, show me what you understood, right? And so they're a very big part of the book. You know, the concepts were mine,
yeah,
but the writing was theirs.
I didn't realize they were that that involved. And that's such a brilliant way of teaching, is those teach backs. When you say, you explain a concept and then you say, teach it back to me. That's something that Eric Smolinski did a lot with me when I was learning options from him. One of the most effective tools I think I've come across for really understanding concepts.
Yes.
So the book kind of came about during COVID. It was just a project when you guys had a bunch of free time, or was there something that kind of came out of the lockdown in particular that you just said, you know what, I probably should teach my daughters about money?
No, this is a great question. So I, like every other dad or every other family, you know, we don't talk about money, right? Money is like a taboo. They don't talk about it in school. So, of course, you know, I'm not trying to say that, oh, yeah, I was the brave one and I started talking about money. No, not true. But because I was always working from home even before COVID. But now that they were at home, they saw me and they felt like I'm doing nothing.
Oh.
So they kept asking me, how do I make money?
Right.
And so one day I'm like, okay, I don't know how I explain all this to them. So I bought, of course, you know, Monopoly, right? Uh-huh. And we started playing together. Then I bought Payday, Game of Life, Cash Flow Quadrant, all those similar games.
Right.
And we continued to play. And I'm like, these girls are showing interest. Let me actually start talking about it from the basics. What is money? And then I wanted to tell them what my parents have told me all the time, that money doesn't grow on trees.
Right.
You can't keep asking for it. You can't ask for this and that. So I said, okay, money doesn't grow on trees. So they were like, okay, where does it grow? And so the discussion started. So COVID shut down, made us, you know, stay at home together like all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the time when I started talking about it. And then we continued slowly because I knew that, you know, they can't grasp everything in one shot at that time. So we continued slowly and teaching them, and then their school started and we never worked on the book. But last year was when I told them, if you help me finish the book, I will make sure it's published.
Oh, that's awesome.
And so this is last 12 months, I had done pretty much nothing other than the book.
Right. Well, because you said before we hit the record button, you'd even taken some time away from your podcast to finish that.
Yes, I had to.
Are you planning on kicking that back up now that the book is done?
Yes. About, I would say, from August, we'll start recording the podcast again. Yes.
Awesome. Going back to the concepts and stuff. So you said, like, you know, you can't grasp everything in one sitting. And obviously that's true because it's such a complex subject. But were there any particular concepts that were more difficult than you would have expected for children to understand?
That's a great question again. So I was able to explain them slowly about stocks and real estate.
Mm-hmm.
But when we moved on to like cryptocurrencies, right? Government bonds,
right.
Even that explaining that you know, taxes, right? All those was pretty hard because they didn't understand why, you know, government will need investment from people, right? Government bonds. Government is government. They're like, yeah. I'm like, no, they also need investment, right? So those were some of the taxes. Why do we even have to pay taxes, right? So,
oh, God. Well, that's a question adults ask.
So some of those concepts were pretty difficult, but, you know, they figured it out. And at that time, we didn't have story, right? So once I understood that, okay, it took me so long to explain all this to them. We were like, we have to weave a story in the book.
Right, right.
That's the only way kids will understand and they can relate, right? Mm-hmm. So that's why we have a nice story where we have two main characters, Kiara and Tessa. By the way, they are named after my daughters.
No. well.
Right? And their school and how they learn about money in the school. And there is a game. So we thought, you know, that would be the only way, you know, the kids will understand in a shorter period of time.
Yeah. On the flip side of that, were there any concepts that they understood like quicker than you thought they would?
Yeah, real estate.
Really?
Yeah, and the reason is because majority of my portfolio is real estate.
<okay. laughs>
So they have seen me talk about it all the time with friends, on phone call, with my property manager, this, that, right? So it was easier for them.
That makes an interesting point then, because they understood that easier because you were doing it all the time. You may not necessarily be talking to them about it, but they're probably overhearing conversations and the exposure to it, I think, is kind of important.
Exactly. Yeah. Every time I'm talking, they are still listening, right? Even though I'm not talking to them.
Right. Well, I mean, that's how we learn to speak to begin with, right?
Exactly.
We don't understand anything as babies until it all clicks. So that's a great thing that I think you did there. I think sharing what you do with your children is just, you'd be surprised what they pick up, right?
Yes, yes. And funny, but even though I thought that they would love real estate, they understood, but that didn't mean that they would want to invest in real estate.
Right, okay.
So that was weird to me. I'm like, okay, so they both love stocks to start investing.
Yeah.
So they both have now stocks in their Roth IRA.
Okay.
As of last year, they have some, you know, NVIDIA and AVGO and all those, I'm pretty sure you about.
Crushing it then.
Lam Research, because I told them to research all those stocks last year. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they have stocks and they also started their own business.
Really?
That was interesting because I was like, yeah, I want them to become real estate investor and business owner. And yeah, it was funny how, what they liked
right
away.
One of the things that I really liked in the book was the encouraging the younger kids to pick stuff that they understand, they know, they like. I think that is such a low-key, like just a great piece of advice that you don't really think about it. But as these kids grow up, what companies do you think are going to be big? It's going to be the ones that they're into as kids, right?
Yes, exactly.
So the growth potential of those names. In fact, I want a list of the names that they're looking at.
No, you nailed it right there, because I was, you know, I was surprised that I thought, oh, they will say, oh, yeah, let's go and buy real estate. But no, they didn't want to do stocks. And I'm like, yeah, okay, wow, why not, right?
Right. Is there anything in particular they say about what they like about one versus the other?
So it's just they felt like real estate was a lot more work.
Yeah.
Right. And second, they thought it requires a lot more capital.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And both, if you do it right, both are not true. Right. If you find the right team, then you can have, don't have to do anything. And, you know, you can also invest in with small amount or, you know, pull money together. So, but yeah, those were a couple of things. And then, yeah, business ownership is one which they picked up and I liked it because I wanted them to see how they can, you know, start working in their business. They also took a private money loan from me.
Oh.
Right. So they were able to see how someone will invest in their business.
Right, right.
Right. So it was, yeah, interesting. But yeah, I still am not happy that they didn't like real estate.
I did notice that futures didn't get very much of a love in your book. I'm wondering if there's going to be a revision that comes out where you can add a couple more chapters.
You are stealing my thunder.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yes, yes. Thank you. So we got such a great feedback about the book already, great reviews, and because my kids are growing already, so we have started talking about the part two of the book, and that would be called Growing the Money Tree for Teens.
Because
my older one is a teenager, and I'm like, that's when. So we did mention options and futures a little bit, but not a lot, and I'm like, that would be the start where, you know, the kids go through this portion, and then we talk about futures and options and even Forex.
Yeah. Oh, Forex. You can skip Forex. No.
I've done all of that. I've done all of that and lost significant money.
Right. So actually, I did want to ask about that because there's so much stuff in the book. Like, how did you decide what made the cut and what didn't? I mean, you have things like crowdfunding, cryptos in there. Where do you draw the line?
That's a very, very important question. So all of the investment I mentioned there, actually I do all of them.
Okay, okay.
So it was easier for me to explain those to them.
Yeah.
I used to do futures and Forex. I still do a little bit of options, but I don't do futures and Forex. So, you know, I was like, it would be difficult for me to explain right now because I have to go back and make sure I, you know,
relearn it.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So that was one thing. And second, also, I was thinking of it from their perspective that crowdfunding is becoming bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
Right. Yep. So in their world, it's going to be so important. Like, basically, you name the company and you'll be able to invest. I would say, in next 5-10 years, a private company, right? Because right. I've invested in SpaceX, and now people are talking about investing in a new Elon Musk's new AI company and whatnot, right? So right. it would become so easier because of this crowdfunding and crowd investing. And second, cryptocurrency. I think it's important for them to know
yeah.
for their future, believe it or not, but it's here to stay.
Yes.
You know, U.S. government can say whatever they want. The SEC can do whatever they want. Or China can say, oh, we are going to, you know, block or kill crypto. Right. It's not going to happen, you know. So some of those things I figured out that, you know, they will have to learn
yeah.
in future, right? And I'm pretty sure stocks and real estate would stay there forever pretty much too.
Right.
Right. So they are like the, I would say, the top two investment mm-hmm. for any of all of us, right? And then the rest is, you know, there will always be new things, but that's what I figured out, that one, I know, and second, would they still be around?
Yes.
Or would they continue to grow, right? So that is how, and futures and Forex, for me, it's really complicated to explain.
Mm-hmm.
So let them grasp some of these ideas, and especially if these kids start investing in stocks, some of these kids, then it will be easier for them to learn about futures, especially, or options in the next book.
The other important thing, I guess, too, I probably should point out, is I don't know that they could do that on their own, futures, Forex, or options.
Like, right.
All the other stuff is accessible to them.
Exactly.
Yeah. The other thing I wanted to point out, too, you mentioned, we were talking about the crowdfunding. Have you read across, what is it, Fundrise, I think it is? It's a crowdfunding, but it's real estate based. So it's
yes, kind of like... Yes, there is Yield Street, there is Fundrise, a lot of similar. And that's what I also told them, mm-hmm. that if you really want to start with small amount of money, you
exactly.
can literally invest $500,
right?
Right, and get started on... and there are a lot more platform. Actually, there is another called Lofty.
Lofty?
Lofty, and Propy, Propy. And it's basically real estate and crypto play.
Okay.
So you invest in their real estate, but they generate a token for you.
Okay, okay.
So you can actually, their idea is that you can trade that token.
Okay.
Right? So it doesn't become illiquid.
Right.
Like, you know, Fundrise or Yield Street, that once you invest, you know, you can't sell.
Right. Oh, I have to look at that.
Yeah. So there are all kind of interesting ideas out there.
This might be a little embarrassing, but I did have to, I spent an inordinate amount of time on the crypto section trying to refresh my understanding of it. Because I feel like every time I read it, as soon as I close the book and look away, it's gone.
it's crazy.
Right. But like you said, it's here to stay. So you kind of have to learn about it. And
yeah. So if you, maybe you don't know, but I started investing in Bitcoin back in 2015.
Okay.
And I had my own mining company, Bitcoin mining company, back in 2017.
Really? Okay.
So you've been... and we folded it up at the wrong time, of course.
Wow. So they probably saw you playing with the rigs and other things too then?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes. So, and yeah, I come from IT background, so I actually can relate to cryptos and blockchain. I understand the technology.
I have a programming background, but it has not helped much. I think I might need to get actually a little bit deeper.
Yes.
The biggest thing I always have with it is trying to figure out the use cases, but I think that's been proven at this point now.
Now it's a lot of different use cases.
It's no worse than gold, right?
Yes. I think it's way better than gold at this point.
Yeah.
Because you can generate income. You know,
yeah.
If you do it right, that's the key I see, that I want to see passive income coming from most of my investments.
And mm-hmm.
a lot of time, you know, the investments you make, it's, you know, it's sitting there and you don't realize the profit till you sell.
Right.
So it's all paper profits.
One last question about the book then. I just, it does seem a little complex for young ages. How do you envision this being used? Is this something that the kid is going to read through, make notes, like follow along with the worksheet? Or is this like a family activity where like the family reads it together?
That is a very important point as well. I believe this is a family activity.
Mm-hmm.
Because the book after, I would say up to stocks, is still, you know, easy to grasp some portions of real estate. But after that, especially cryptos and government bonds and all that, it's pretty complicated. And so I would, one, this will allow your kids to stay away from screen. And mm-hmm. for me, that was one of the most important thing was that when I started playing with them, when I started teaching them, was that I will, you know, instill all this wisdom in them, but also make sure that, you know, they enjoy, mm-hmm. right? So that they stay away from screen and they try to do their own, right? So if you make this a family activity, you will definitely enjoy, right?
Yeah. With
the kids, this is what, you will definitely remember the time you spent. And they will learn a lot more out of it when you make it as a family activity. Mm-hmm. And then if you see most of the chapters, there is summary or worksheet, right? Where we actually ask, go and ask your parents.
Yes, yes.
Have you ever rented an apartment? Right?
Right.
Because in real estate, oh, I'm pretty sure all of us have done at some point.
Yep.
In our lives, right? So, or what do they do and make money, right?
Yeah.
So this starts that discussion, that dialogue, and which can continue, right? Because you can tell them in one sentence, oh yeah, I go to work and, you know, wash the dishes and that is how I make money. It means you can actually, you know, give them more broader picture,
yeah.
right? So I would say this would be a family activity. Could it be parents? Godfather, godmother, grandparents.
Mm-hmm.
It could be anyone, and even, you know, older siblings. Sometimes older siblings have, you know, a pretty big age difference, right?
And me.
That is
8 years between me and my
Wow. So, yeah, like, you know, if you're 10 and your brother or sister is 18, now see, you know, some of the knowledge they already have. And they can also, the funny thing is the book, as you said, has a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Some are complex. So I would say anyone can grasp something out of this book, even a parent.
Yes, I would agree with that.
Right?
Yep, yep. I mean, I just love the explanations. I think your daughters did a wonderful job.
Thank you.
I didn't realize that they wrote so much of it, but yeah, I'm fans. If there's a book signing, you know, let me know. I want their signatures.
Longtime fans of the show should be familiar with the lender formerly known as Sue Pullen, and I'm pleased to announce that she's back, fresh off a rebrand and ready to help as Sue Mackey. Sue is a certified mortgage advisor at Fairway Independent Mortgage, an equal housing lender who focuses on finding the right product for you and your needs. She has over 20 years of experience helping thousands of homeowners. Whether it's purchasing, refinancing, or even a reverse mortgage, Sue will help. Sue's licensed in 36 states now, so reach out and let Sue Mackey it happen for you. The best way to reach her is just give her a call at 520-977-7904 or in an email, spullen@fairwaymc.com. Fairway Independent Mortgage has an MLS number of 2289. Sue Mackey has an MLS number of 206048. That email again, spullen@fairwaymc.com. And that phone number is 520-977-7904. Shoot Sue an email and let her know she needs to update that address.
Let's talk a little bit more about you then. So we've talked a bit about, like, most of your focus right now is in real estate, you said. Were you always into real estate? Because you said you kind of dabbled in a lot of different things. Like, did
yes.
you land on that eventually? Did you have success in other markets? Like, how did your path look?
So it started back in 2009 when I got laid off,
mm-hmm.
right? A lot
that
of
was,
us.
Yeah, that was a rough year.
And it was a very tough time. And that's when I realized that I have no other income.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And my wife wasn't working either because we were expecting our first child. So it was very difficult when you have no income coming in and you have mortgage to pay.
Yeah, that's a scary time.
Exactly. So I always kept thinking, and that is the first time I started investing in stocks, actually. It was mm-hmm. too late for me. I was around 30 years old already. Around 30. So it was too late, but I started thinking, I'm like...
Let's not say too late. It's always better to start yesterday. But if you can't start yesterday, start today.
Better late than never,
yeah.
right? So that is when I started investing in stocks, not too crazy,
mm-hmm.
very little. And then by 2011, I was doing options.
Okay.
Right? So I was playing. Now I'm playing. I'm like,
yeah.
okay, this is it. I got to do this. But one thing I realized, and I still love stocks, that it required so much of my time
mm-hmm.
and patience. It was so emotional.
The patience is the
yeah,
tough
right?
one. Yeah.
And it was so emotional. The whole day I was looking at it. By 2015, I got into real estate and futures and Forex.
Mm-hmm.
Like literally in 2015, I was doing all of this. And I'm like, oh, I'm looking at this thing for 23, 24 hours a day because those markets don't stop working, right?
Right.
They are alive and kicking like
yep.
pretty much all the time. So that is when I realized that maybe I'm not cut out for that those markets, mm-hmm. you know, so especially futures, forex, options. I can do a little bit. I started enjoying real estate more because I did all of them together. Actually, 2015, I invested in cryptos, crowdfunding, all of that. I just started trying. And maybe because that year I had made good money. So I had a little bit more freedom to, you know, try a lot more things out, right? But that's when I figured out that maybe I am cut out for real estate and not other types of investment. Yes, mm-hmm. I will continue to still invest in those assets, but I don't want to spend my time. So like stocks, most of my portfolio is managed by a fund manager.
Okay.
Because my 401k / IRA, because it's my own. So I have the, you know, but I still do a little bit on my own, but not too crazy.
It's more long-term probably.
Yes, exactly. Not in and out. I have done a lot of day trades, swing trades, all that as well. And which I enjoyed with the emotional ride, but then when it dipped, it was pretty rough on me, right? And I realized that whenever it dipped, I was so upset, gloomy, angry at my family and kids. And I'm like, maybe it's not for me, because even though I read all kind of books about stocks, right? But still, I figured out it's not for me. So stocks, real estate is what, by 2017, I said, this is it. I'm going to do this. So right now, 50% of my portfolio is in real estate, about 20-25% in stocks. And then a little bit in crypto, crowdfunding, cash, precious metals. I also do a little bit of collectibles. I love watches.
Right? That was the other thing you mentioned in the book too. Collectibles being a thing. Yeah, I almost forgot about that one. with regards to like the real estate, one of the things that I think scares most people away is trying to manage or deal with tenants. How do you approach that with your portfolio?
So when you are starting out, yes, it's a difficult thought. It's a tough thought. So because I live in the San Francisco Bay Area, I could never invest in my own backyard. The numbers will not work, right? So from day one, I had to figure that out and rely on third-party property manager. Mm-hmm. A lot of time when people do that, they always think, oh, yeah, I'm going to manage and save 8 to 10% a month.
It's not worth
it. And then they get stuck with three T's, right? Tenants, termites, and toilets.
So
I, from day one, I had no choice because I was investing in Midwest, Ohio, and Wisconsin to all that. So it made it easier for me. It was still difficult, but I had to rely on third party. I had to build a team out there.
Yeah.
So I tell everyone, if you really want to invest in real estate, if it's just one time, then maybe you don't need a team. But if you really want to do this, then start thinking about building a team. And that building a team could consist of from your broker, from realtor, from insurance agent, a handyman, contractor, property manager, an appraiser.
Right.
So I have a team of all those people now. And now that I have moved on from single family and, you know, small duplexes and whatnot, we buy large mobile home parks and senior housing facilities. Mm-hmm. So now actually we can afford to have our own team.
Right.
So we have built, my operating partner has built a vertical integrated company now. So we have our team of property managers. Everything's in-house. So when you actually grow, it makes it easier.
What do you guys charge for managing a property? I've got one in Mississippi still that I think they're taking 10% on. I finally got them down
to
15.
I think 8 to 10 is pretty normal. I wouldn't pay more than 10.
Yeah.
But if you have, I recommend people, if you end up buying more than one property in the same city, then you
should be able to bundle
with
it.
Them. So like I still have a 9-unit apartment building in Birmingham, Alabama, and I pay 8%. Mm-hmm. That regular is 10-11%. But I'm like, you know, and I'm pretty much, I have locked that for now 4 years. And so far, working.
Well, have you ever had any trouble with squatters? That's kind of like one of the big things in the news that I think is scaring a lot of people away from investing in homes is the possibility that someone will just come in, lock the door, and never leave. Have you had any experience with that?
No, not really. And maybe I'm lucky, right? But on the flip side, we have focused on landlord-friendly markets.
Okay.
And this is what I tell everyone, to not go to tenant-friendly markets. And again, I'm not political. I'm not left, right, Democrat, Republican, but I don't go to blue states, even though I live in a blue state, because they are the most tenant-friendly states.
Right.
That is where your investment, especially if you are in real estate, can get screwed, right? And I've seen it happen too many times, especially in my own backyard with a lot of my friends.
Oh, yeah, San Francisco's.
So we invest in landlord-friendly states.
That's good advice, I think. Any other thoughts or wisdom you'd share with anybody who is interested in getting started in real estate?
I think it's important. There are three rules I look for in real estate investing, and three are same: location, location, location. You can't go wrong with that. So whenever you want to get started, and location I mean by, does it have positive migration?
Okay.
Does it have job growth? Mm-hmm. Does it have income growth?
Okay.
Right? Is it close to a Starbucks or Costco or Walmart? Then it's a good thing. You know, they already do all the research for you.
Mm-hmm.
They already figured out that this is a good area, right, for them to invest.
Yeah.
When they are investing multi-million dollars, I think you can invest your 200, 500 grand, right?
That's a great point, too, because those are all things that are indicating that the economy is going to be lifting everything up, right? You might as well have the wind at your sails instead of scooping up bargain Detroit properties.
Yeah, so less than 5 miles we look for. You know, less than 5 miles, is there a Starbucks? That's a good thing. If someone can afford Starbucks.
That's another good point. Yeah. Disposable income.
Right?
There's another interesting thing when it comes to real estate, too, where there's almost like, it's like a spot, like you have the high end where it's harder sometimes to rent some of those because the people who can afford to rent it have no incentive to.
Right.
Is that something that you have to deal with, or is that something that you consider when you're purchasing a new property?
No, that is very important. And yes, mm-hmm. we do. So in real estate world, you will see if you start talking to brokers and stuff or insurance agent, they will say, oh, this is an A-class neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
This is a B-class neighborhood. This is C-class, right? And same way, they will mention that for the property also, A-class property, B-class, C-class property, right? We would prefer usually a B or C-class property and neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And the reason is you want to go for those blue collar jobs, you know, the high end, it's too expensive. And a lot of time, you know, as you said, they don't have an incentive to rent, right?
Or and you're stay not going to get them forever. For long term either. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. It's months. Transient. Yeah. Right. Yep. So you don't want to go through that turnover again and again. Right? Mm-hmm. So yes, B and C is what we focus on.
You ever partner with like businesses in order to like, I guess, because like sometimes when you like get hired on to a position and they'll fly you out, they'll put you up in a place for, you know, a couple weeks to a month to find a place. Like, you ever partner with any of them?
Not yet, but I do have friends who do that, right? Mm-hmm. So, and they call it as MTR, midterm rental.
Okay.
So that is LTR, which is what we do, long-term rental.
Yeah.
That is Airbnb, which is STR, short-term rental.
Okay.
And then these are the in the middle, which is MTR, midterm or monthly term rental. Where, you know, usually people will stay a week or a month, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then there is a turnover, right? So I have a couple of friends who do that and they do it very successfully. Not only with businesses, but believe it or not, you can do that with hospitals, clinics.
What?
Yeah, hospitals will have, they will have traveling nurses and traveling doctors.
Oh, okay.
And I didn't know that.
Airports.
And during COVID time, these people killed it because
uh-huh.
these doctors and nurses were traveling like crazy, right?
When
certain area had a lot of, you know, the COVID went up like the rates and then, you know, even government will fly these people.
Right.
And they will, you know, and, you know, most of the hotels are shut down. So these were the places.
I wonder if the airlines can get in on there too, because a lot of the stewardesses and pilots go.
I'm pretty sure they do.
Yeah. okay, let's see. One last real estate question. Can you tell me about, maybe not real estate in particular, but just one of the most difficult lessons you had to learn in your investment journey? Whether that be outsized loss that you had took that caused you to go back and, you know, reevaluate things, or just like one of the, just share with me like one of the painful learning experiences you've been through and what you took away from that experience.
So I'll talk about something very recent. And,
okay.
and this is why I want to remind everyone that even if you think you are an expert, this thing can come bite you, right? Anytime.
Yeah.
And as I think when we, before we started, I mentioned that I started, you know, Bitcoin mining company back in 2017. We folded it up. We started another one recently, but I did not start it. I invested with an operating partner thinking that, you know, I don't have time and bandwidth. I can't do everything. So, and I thought that he will do a good job. And at, for 6 months, he did a good job. And then when the market nosedived, the crypto markets in 22 and then early 23 was the worst one.
Yep.
Right? 16K Bitcoin. He basically just lost his mind.
Oh, wow.
So he just disappeared. Oh. And believe it or not, the amount of money invested with him is right now, we counted, was over 80 million.
Whoa. And he's gone?
Yeah. Yeah. So we have a lawsuit going on. He's available, but he's not telling us anything where all the money is.
Oh, man.
So I have an outsized loss on that one, like huge. Plus, I have had friends and families who invested in those.
Oh, man.
Because of me. So, you know, I, one lesson learned that sometimes, you know, I knew the risk in cryptos, or even when we do options and, you know, futures, we know that we can lose it all.
Yeah.
Right? Which I knew that, okay, Bitcoin can turn to zero, but we did not anticipate this risk.
Right. The fund
the
manager.
The personal risk, right? The, that, you know, this person will suddenly turn, you know, a fraudster, right? And which is, which I'm seeing in a lot in the crypto world, by the way.
Yeah.
You can go to Silk Road, FTX, all the Celsius fiasco and all of that. That somehow all these guys think that they want to become billionaire overnight.
Right.
Not even millionaire.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So it's one of the tough lessons learned in last year or so, where you know, significant capital was lost.
What would you do differently then if you were to go back and redo it?
I think I would, next time I will keep one, transparency, right? My problem was that I started trusting him.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, okay, yeah, I think he's doing a good job on first 6 months. And I stopped looking at things because before I had control.
Okay.
Yeah, so not anymore. I think even if you trust your, if it's your brother, if it's your, you know, whoever, but it's important to keep an eye on it, right? So it would be, you know, keep one, accounting, second, how everything's working. Third, have a copy of all the contracts.
Mm.
So we have a lawsuit going on and court is telling us to bring all the contracts with the hosting companies.
Right.
And we don't have it. We have to get it from him or his company
oh,
and they are
man.
Not giving it to us.
Yeah.
So we are in a mess. Court is saying, if you show us the contracts, we can
right.
give you control of all those rigs or machines.
Oh.
But we don't have contracts.
My
so
gosh.
It's like, you know, get all the paperwork with you, make sure it's, you know, you have it.
That is great advice. Can we say the guy's name or is that?
Oh yeah, yeah.
You tell I can people to, tell, if you've seen him, we need you to message Al Pesh here.
No, now he's at home. Yeah, we are supposed to because it's a public case now.
Mm-hmm.
His name is Ang, E-N-G. Last name is Tang, T-A-I-N-G. And the company's name is Tozi Capital. T-O-U-Z-I, Tozi.
So if you have money with them, pull it out.
I think already people know.
Let Al Pesh know, please.
It's a big one. SEC is looking at it, by the way, and I can say that on record here as well.
I will say, though, I mean, $18 million is not, that's not money anymore. There's like a line from the movie Way of the Gun from way back when that's, $18 million is a motive. It's not money.
Yes. Yes.
It will cause some people to do some really crazy things. And so,
yes,
exactly. Not putting blind trust in anybody.
Yeah. If you look at the total investment in his business, it's over, I would say, $150 million.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
In real estate, cryptos, and all kind of plays he was doing. So, there's a.
Diversified also means where you let people handle your money too, right?
Yes.
Let's talk real quick about the podcast then. Tell me a little bit about what you guys do on there, what kind of guests you talk to, what sort of topics.
The podcast name is Wealth Matters Podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And it started with my fascination about alternative assets.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
Because I was like, everyone talks about stocks.
Mm-hmm.
We do deal with stocks like continuously. People know or not. When you invest in even, you know, when you buy a government bond, a T-bill, that's kind of stock because it's also manipulated.
Yeah.
And especially people are like, oh yeah, we don't invest in stocks at all personally. I'm like, not really. Do you have 401k?
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, but I don't do anything with it.
Nah, somebody
I'm like,
is.
That is in stocks though. Yes. You know, and then I asked him how much. He's like, yeah, 500k. Like, that's your significant amount of capital. So every time I spoke with someone, they were already doing stocks, but they had no clue about real estate or any other alternative assets.
Mm-hmm.
And the second thing was they had no idea about how to save on taxes, right? So that was my other goal, because I took some tax courses
mm-hmm.
as well as I read a lot of textbooks. And I realized that this is where, you know, money is made actually.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like not by, you know, getting paid 200K, 500K, because half of it you give it to government, especially if you live in California or yeah. other states like California, right? New York. So I always thought about how can I save on taxes, not using any, you know, bad strategy. I really want to pay my share of taxes. I want to emphasize that.
Mm-hmm.
But if I can save on taxes legally.
Yeah.
Like how Trump's, Romney's, Bill Gates do.
Right, right.
Jeff Bezos does, Elon Musk does by moving his headquarters out of Bay Area to Austin, Texas, right?
Yeah.
I just want to follow the same strategies. Maybe I don't have that much money, but if I can save that money, remember that money I can invest in stocks or real estate, and now it's compounding.
Yeah, yep.
The money is losing value every day. So if I can save now and invest, then it would be worth more in 5-10 years.
That remind me, I need to send you some potential guests then, if you like the tax aspect of it. I talked to some
sure,
lady who's
we talk a lot about it.
Talk to a lady who's an expert on crypto taxes. She might be fun for you.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
That would be great.
One last thing. Any last thoughts then before we wrap things up? Where can people find the book if they want to check it out? Anything else you got going on?
Sure. So Growing the Money Tree for Kids is available everywhere, basically worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
I have people buying in India and Philippines as well right now. And it hit Amazon number one bestseller in multiple categories in last 3 weeks.
Nice.
So I highly recommend, please check out the book and support us. And not only support us, but instill the financial literacy in our next generation. Remember, these are the kids. These children are going to take care of us
yep.
as well as our great country, right? So it's very important to instill some of the financial literacy. The website for the book is moneytreebooks.com.
Okay.
It's pretty simple, moneytreebooks.com.
All right. Well, thank you, Alpesh. I think that's probably going to do it for today. So really, I mean, thank you so much for you, your helpers, for taking action to fill in the financial education void that currently exists in this country. It's something that I've been very vocal about on this program. So getting a chance yes. to talk to somebody trying to do something to fix that is always exciting for me. As you mentioned, you can find his book, Growing the Money Tree for Kids, on Amazon or at moneytreebooks.com. You can also go to Wealth Matters, and that's spelled MATRS.com. If you want to check out the Wealth Matters podcast, should be back in August, you said?
Yes.
And we'll be back soon with another exciting episode, hopefully as impressive as a 150-page book co-written by your daughters. But until that day, like, share, and subscribe on your way out, and have a great day. Thank you very much, Alpesh.
Thank you, Kyle.
Prime Day is coming July 16th and 17th, with epic deals exclusively for Prime members. You'll feel like you just won an award.
Oh, wow, I didn't even prepare a speech. I'd like to thank my family for always needing stuff. Also, Sam, my delivery guy, for bringing all my awesome deals so fast. You're the man, Sam!
Shop deals on electronics, home, and more this Prime Day, July 16th and 17th.
This podcast is intended for informational and educational purposes only, does not constitute financial or investment advice, and should not be construed as such. The hosts, guests, and contributors of this podcast are not licensed financial advisors, brokers, or professionals. Any trading or investment decisions made based on the content of this podcast are solely at the listener's discretion and risk. Trading and investing in financial markets carry inherent risks, and past performance is not indicative of future results. Listeners should conduct their own research and seek advice from qualified financial professionals before making any financial decisions. The views, opinions, and information shared in this podcast are those of the individual contributors and do not necessarily reflect the views or policies of the podcast creators or associated organizations.
Produced by China Shop Productions.